Hello and welcome to the Game House College Sports Show. I am Joe. With me is Kyle, as always, here to recap a great week of college football, to preview another good week of college football. Kyle, how you doing?
I'm doing well. It's a boring week, but we got a big week next week, so should be fun.
Absolutely. We'll be looking forward to rivalry week and college football playoff talk. We are recording after they released the rankings today, so a little bit more context for some of these games we pick. But let's start it off with our recap of last week first. Notre Dame beat Navy by 3, 35-32. They went up big early. Braden Lindsey had a very good catch where he caught it around the guy's back. We've seen that in highlights before, I think even dating back to like 2005 Alabama. But then they just took their foot off the gas. They still won. I mean, it's worth mentioning that they won the game and are now 7-3, are moving up to 18th in the CFP rankings. But ugly performance by Notre Dame, which is kind of par for the course for a lot of their games where they should win.
Well, honestly, I think it was just the score's a lot. It makes it look like it was a lot closer than it was. It really wasn't. There wasn't much going on in the second half. You get a late score from Navy that makes it interesting towards the end. I do think it's a little – it's not impressive that the offense didn't do anything in the second half. That's fair. They didn't really do much. The run game never happened. This is kind of one of those weird games because we talked about it all year where Notre Dame can't throw. They only run. Estime is the guy. Logan Diggs, the second, always has a good game too. They had 1.9 yards carry in this one, so it was a lot of Drew Pine in this one, and that was good to see. Little hope moving forward now. You know, maybe it's not a great Navy defense or anything, but it's good to see he can get it done. He's very efficient on the day, and like you said, had some good throws in there. Either way, it's a fine win. It scores a little closer than it looks, but it was a good win by Notre Dame.
Yeah, it's the most important thing. They got the win, and I think – maybe they should have opened the playbook a little bit more second half for Drew Pine. He was a lot of his damage was done in the first half, and I mean, should have given him more of a leash to throw the ball. But they have not been too high on Drew Pine throughout his whole career, so it does not surprise me that they didn't do that. All right, so an embarrassing loss for Kentucky. Vanderbilt wins 24-21. Mike Wright was the starting quarterback for Vanderbilt. His legs caused a problem specifically. It was a cold game in Lexington. Chris Rodriguez had a good game, and I really don't know why he didn't get more carries. 18 carries, 162 yards, 2 touchdowns. One of them was on a big 70-yard run, but get a big running back like that, you got to keep on feeding him the ball, just like Derrick Henry does in the pros. You keep on feeding him, by the end of the game, he wears him down. Will Levis, not a good game again. Offensive coordinator, not a good game again. Rich Scangarello, he's just not the guy, and hopefully they get things fixed. They got wide receivers complaining about the play calling and saying that the reason they're not scoring as many points in the red zone is the play calling. It seems like there's a lot going wrong in Lexington right now.
Yeah, this isn't a game Vanderbilt won. This is a game Kentucky lost. I think you said it right. The offense just didn't do what it needed to do, and I thought the play call was very suspect as well. You're averaging 6.9 yards a carry on the ground, and you get away from your run game. That's bad. That's a bad sign. And once again, here we are another week talking about how bad Will Levis is. Very inefficient game. He barely gets over 100 yards, and he has a pick. And against the Vanderbilt defense, that's terrible. I believe you were telling me on Saturday you had Vandy booked as getting a win in the SEC this year somewhere. You didn't think it would come against the Cats. Yeah. I do think I kind of agree with you. I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't end up getting one, but I was kind of like, oh, this could happen this year. Mike Wright, I think, was going to cause somebody problems, and it was this one that happened. So good effort by them and a good job, but I really do think this is just a game that Kentucky should have won and just let it get away from them again. It feels a little bit reminiscent of the South Carolina game where they just, I don't know, the game plan wasn't there. And if any of those receivers want to transfer, let me know. I would love to take Brian Brown off.
Well, yeah, and you know, I think it's not a fair trade, but Jaquez Jones coming to Kentucky the year before, so that's not bad.
Hey, you took our other guy, too. You have two of our defensive guys.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah. I think we talked about this after week one. Is like, you know, they beat Hawaii 63-10. We knew Hawaii was bad, but, like, that's a good win for Vanderbilt. Like, they're getting things going, and Mike Wright got benched at a certain point. And I don't know. It just kind of makes me think about what would happen if they didn't bench him. Like, maybe they pull off that win at Missouri. Maybe they're going to their last two games with, like, one chance at an upset for a bowl game. I guess they still could go at 5-7 this year because they're going to have one of the best academic progress rates, but that's not exactly how you want to qualify for a bowl game. But yeah, good win for them. Good to get off the snide, and they had been playing better the last couple games, and yeah, good for them. All right, we have up next, we have TCU over Texas. This was a 17-10 game. It was not like we thought it was going to be. We thought it was going to be a shootout. We thought you know, TCU would have to come from behind in this game. They didn't have to come from behind. They just kind of controlled the game. Their defense stepped up. Kendre Miller, the running back, 138 yards, one touchdown. And their corner, Travius Hodges-Tomlinson, NFL draft prospect, probably going to go day two or early day three. Kind of shorter, but he came up with a couple passes defended. I think three passes defended, one interception. That was huge. And also Texas, Quinn Ewers really struggled, 17 of 39. I mean, that's got to be concerning.
Yeah, and that was one of the main points I made when we were on here last week, was I think this game is going to be dependent on how Quinn Ewers plays. If he plays like he did against Alabama and some of these other games, I thought they had a great chance to win it. But if he trips up and doesn't have a good game, you know, he didn't have a good one up against Oklahoma State, just some of these different games he falters, and it ends up with the Texas offense looking very bad. I think the more surprising thing for me, though, was Bijan Robinson's performance. They shut him down. And I thought TCU's defense was outstanding this game. And so they keep rolling 10-0 now. Texas, I don't know. I've heard some rumblings a little bit about that seat maybe getting a little lukewarm, which feels a little early to me. I think you got to at least wait till Arch Manning gets there and just see what else he can do. But that might be a year or two away with when you were starting and everything. So, something to keep an eye on, I guess.
I'm not saying I'm picking TCU to win out yet because I want to see what happens Big 12 championship game and everything. But because they won in an ugly game, too, it gives me more confidence that I can pick them moving forward. Like, the defense stepped up. They ran the ball well. It wasn't like we had to come from behind or score 40 points to win. So I am more confident they'll win out. I do think, like, if they play Kansas State in the Big 12 championship, I mean, Kyle, you know how I feel about Kansas State and Deuce Vaughn this year.
That's going to be a fun one.
That'll be another fun one.
Yeah.
So, I'm very happy with this result just because it was an ugly win. I mean, that's not what you want to hear when you talk about football teams and, like, you know, winning by wide margins. But that's – they got an ugly win. I actually think it helps them. Washington beat Oregon 37-34. Michael Penix was throwing the ball all over the field. We've talked about him a lot on the show this year. 408 yards, two touchdowns. The catalyst behind that offense, behind getting Washington and Kalen DeBoer's team to just somewhere where I didn't think they – I don't think anyone thought they would be at this point, which is – 8-2 this late in the season. Oregon, they were in this game at the end. Bo Nix has to go out to get checked for an injury. They go for it on a key 4th-and-2 from their own territory because they weren't stopping Michael Penix. So I'm cool with the call, even though it was on their own 40. And they have their backup quarterback in. They hand it off to a running back who slips and goes down. Bo Nix was on the sidelines waiting to come back in. They should have put him back in or called a timeout just to make sure they got the first down. They weren't able to. They didn't figure it out. End up losing. It's a tough way to lose, but I think Washington definitely deserves the credit for the win. Michael Penix was amazing.
Yeah, I mean, you covered it pretty well there. I think you said everything needed to be said, but kudos, like you said, to Michael Penix. So, you know, we talk about him here a lot, but I do not see enough coverage of him from the rest of the media, I think. Like, his name needs to be brought up more. An outstanding game again, and he's, like you said, has Washington sitting at 8-2 and pretty in the Pac-12. Mm-hmm. And that's on the road, too. You know, that's not an easy environment. We've seen Oregon games there. That gets crazy. So, hell of a job by Washington and Michael Penix.
Absolutely. He's starting to creep into some NFL draft talk. He's got the laser for an arm. He's mobile. I mean, he's got some tools. There's some throws, especially in this game against Oregon, where he threw one on the goal line for a pick that was just like, what are you doing? But hey, we're seeing that with Will Levis, too, and people still like him in the first round. So, that's how it goes. All right, LSU beat Arkansas 13-10. This was a pretty boring game, to say the least. Like, yes, defensive games are pretty good sometimes. Harold Perkins was dominating for LSU, 4 sacks. LSU ran the ball decently well, but Arkansas just struggled to move the ball with Malik Hordsby in, so they put Cade Fortin back in, who was formerly the second stringer when KJ Jefferson went down the first time. He got the offense moving a little bit, but it was a cold day. It seemed like these SEC teams did not like the cold weather, Kyle.
No, they very clearly did not. I thought Arkansas would do a little better. Just, you know, they're a little more used to it, you would think. But, no, I mean, we saw that line open up last week, and when we talked about it, I feel like we weren't really shocked. You know, we were kind of expecting a close game like this. Maybe not as low scoring, but like you said, the weather plays a factor. It'd be really interesting to see this game with KJ Jefferson in, because I really do think that means Arkansas wins. You extend some drives, you eat up a little more clock, you make that LSU defense a little more tired, and I think this turns into a comfortable Arkansas win with KJ Jefferson. And that wouldn't surprise me either. LSU is, I think, going to be the worst West champion in 20 years. I mean, I can't remember the last time that this is – they just don't impress me that much. You know, and the line comes out next week against a very bad A&M team, and it's still not that big. So – you know, a win is a win, like we were saying earlier about Notre Dame. Win is a win. You lock up the West. Good for them. But, yeah, I don't know. I think this just kind of raises some flags moving forward where this isn't a top five team, I don't think. It's maybe in the top 10.
I'm with you on that. And you're right. It's definitely the best West team since Alabama's run started with Saban. So, that's it. Honestly, it's going on about 20 years now. So, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to this game, Kyle. Alabama beats Ole Miss 30-24. Bryce Young plays pretty well. Quinshon Judkins for Mississippi, Ole Miss plays pretty well. Willie Keith plays pretty well, but maybe some questionable officiating in the game that you might want to talk about, Kyle.
I don't like blaming it on the refs. I've always been against that, and this one just felt very, very suspect. I think with correct officiating, this is a different game. And I don't feel bad for saying that because that has been a key factor in Alabama's losses this year, is racking up penalty yards. And in this game, they just got away with everything. It was very frustrating to watch. All that being said, Ole Miss had a chance to win it there at the very end. They get the touchdown. If they get the touchdown, you likely get the PAT and game's over. So refs or no refs, you had a chance to win at the end. It didn't happen. You missed the throw. I think Kiffin, if he's real with himself, he should blame himself a little bit. Quinshon Judkins gets you all the way down the field on that. It looks like Ole Miss is just rolling, ready to go, has the momentum, time's running down, and then you just get away from the run game. And I didn't like that. I thought maybe you should hit back to it a couple more times instead. We throw and it ends the game and, turnover on downs and everything. But it's fine. It's frustrating because you're right there. You were very, very close. So, tough loss.
Definitely a tough loss, and you write about Alabama and the penalties and something that's kind of maybe been questionable with their games before. I mean, they probably should have lost the Texas game due to a safety that wasn't called, and they have been very undisciplined. This is not the best Alabama team, and something we were expecting them to be the best Alabama team we've seen in a couple of years, actually, since they've had Bryce Young, they had Will Anderson, they have the talent. I'm telling you, some Alabama coordinators are going to be walking. I think maybe both of them are by the end of the year, so... which means next year for Alabama might be tough on people. They might win some more games and come back on top, but we'll wait and see if that happens. Clemson beats Louisville 31-16. This is more just a mention to say Clemson got back on track with the win. They are still alive in the college football playoff race. They would need some help to get there, but they're staying alive. That's all they can really do. They're probably going to get, or they do have North Carolina in the championship game, an ACC championship game coming up. So that's their big chance to impress the committee, I guess.
Yeah, I just still wasn't very impressed with the offense. I mean, DJ still doesn't look like a five-star. Running game is still good. The defense showed up, but it's Louisville. They had that magical game against Wake Forest, but it's still Louisville. So.
All right, we'll move on to Arizona beating UCLA 34-28 in an upset. Zach Charbonnet had a very good game for UCLA, 24 carries, 181 yards, 3 touchdowns. But Arizona, their quarterback, Jaden DeLora, we mentioned him preseason, transfer from Washington State, former Pac-12 freshman of the year last year that I guess got pushed out with coaching changes and with Cameron Ward going to Washington State. Jacob Cowling, the UTEP transfer, the wide receiver, also had a big day for Arizona. Jed Fish is doing a really good job at Arizona. I mean, going 4-6 was totally out of the realm of possibility for what I had them going this year, and they've bounce back well. I mean, wins against some decent programs, some bad ones too, but you beat UCLA, you beat North Dakota State, which I don't care if people want to say FCS or not, that's a good win. They're on a good path, and UCLA just unfortunately knocked out of the playoff picture officially.
Yeah, not a good showing by them. I feel like we kind of agreed here. We're like, it felt like Arizona was going to get one of these games eventually. You know, they had been playing close games and against tough opponents too. And like you were saying, this is an impressive job by Jed Fish. He's in these games. He's got his guys being competitive, and they have a very realistic shot of getting to a bowl game here after what was an atrocious couple years there. But, yeah, I mean, I love the quarterback, DeLora. He's been fun to watch. Just the UCLA defense, and I think we've mentioned this before too, it's just not all there, and it's not enough to really, I think, elevate them to the level that Chip Kelly wants to get to. But this is a good game, good showing by Arizona.
Absolutely. We'll move on to North Carolina beating Wake Forest 36-34. Drake May, another fantastic game. If he doesn't get invited to New York for the Heisman ceremony, it is a travesty. 448 yards, 3 touchdowns. Josh Downs, his top receiver, had 11 catches, 154, and all 3 of those touchdown catches. So North Carolina staying alive in the playoff race. Again, they're going to need a lot of help because just the way the rankings are right now, they would need to move up a lot. Wake Forest, their offense was fixed in this game, but they went from a really good 10-win season down to 6-4 with the chance to maybe, you know, be in a not-so-good bowl game.
Yeah, season's kind of fallen away, gotten away from Wake Forest. But a good turnaround from Sam Hartman. You know, we had talked about his struggles recently, but again, just not enough. And Drake May, though, you said it yourself, that he's having a hell of a year. I think he's doing what everyone thought, you know, Quinn Ewers would be doing. He doesn't have all the weapons and stuff, so he's still making it work. So I've been very impressed with him, and you're right, he should get an invitation.
Statistically, right up there with Joe Burrow's 2019 season. I know they haven't necessarily played the best competition, but in a year where, I don't know, like Hendon Hooker, C.J. Stroud are there, maybe he's the third or fourth guy behind Blake Corum. He deserves an invite, so hopefully he gets it.
He leads the NCAA in touchdowns.
I believe, yes, yes.
Tied or something with C.J. maybe?
Mm-hmm. I think so, yeah. And he's, second in yards, maybe. I think I don't know, something like that. But he's third in the FBS in yards, and he's tied for first in touchdowns.
And they're gonna probably win 12 games. I mean,
and they don't.
So I don't know. I agree. Why would you not?
They don't have a defense either. He's doing kind of putting the team on his back here.
Yeah, this has been impressive.
Well, we'll stay in the ACC. Boston College beats NC State 21-20. I was high on NC State this year. Devin Leary gets hurt, kind of ruined some things. And also, Devin Leary didn't play well this year, so hand up on that one. Boston College, Emmett Moorhead was filling in for the injured Phil Jurkovich, and they seemed to handle it pretty well. He threw for 330 yards, 3 touchdowns. Zay Flowers, his top receiver, 7 catches, 130 yards, 2 touchdowns. He's going to be playing on Sundays. Good win for Boston College because, honestly, it looks like the Jeff Hafley era was kind of slipping. I mean, if they lose this game, they end up going 2-8 with a roster that has some talent on it relatively for ACC competition.
Yeah, he's always had that trouble with the quarterback, though, which we mentioned. But, yeah, this is a good showing for Boston College. Not too surprised by NC State, to be honest. We've mentioned it before where you just don't know which NC State you're going to get. And to that day on Saturday, they got the bad one. And that's a terrible loss. So I know your quarterback's out, but they've had a lot of holes that we've seen all year, and it got exploited in this.
Yeah, I feel bad for that defense. The defense has fought hard all year, and that offense, the offensive coordinator, really holding the team back, regardless of who's at quarterback this year. So that's what's going to do it. Our New Year's Six update for the Group of Five: UCF beats Tulane 38-31. This game was a very competitive game that not many people watched because there's a certain other game on at 3:30 p.m. Eastern, but That's all right. John Rhys Plumlee threw for 132 yards, 1 touchdown, ran for 176 yards, and 2 more touchdowns. Very fantastic day for him, and now they're in the driver's seat to be the New Year's Six representative.
Yeah, too much JRP, and that's the kind of thing he can do. He's electric at quarterback. He's got those great legs, and he's faster than most everybody on the field, as crazy as that is. And this year he's been playing quarterback a little better too, so he's a threat a little bit, you know, with his arm. I thought Tulane played a good game. You know, I highlighted Michael Pratt and Tajay Spears on Tuesday last week, and they both had great games. But, you know, like we said, it's just too much JRP. You have Isaiah Bowser, you kind of shut him down and, you know, saved the running game a little bit there. But you got to worry about the quarterback, and it's a lot to ask for. And that's a good win by UCF. They're going to be trouble if they keep
Absolutely. Playing. They got some tough games coming up. AAC championship game against either Tulane or Cincinnati, who play in the last week of the season. So a lot of drama there in the AAC for the New Year's Six spot. All right, to the Big 12, Kansas State beats Baylor 31-3. Mentioned this because Baylor was still in play for the Big 12 championship. Kansas State is now in the driver's seat to be the number 2 team in the championship against TCU. They've shown when they have healthy quarterback play, they can be a good team. They've won a lot of games. Deuce Vaughn's really good. So for me, it's just mentioning that they're going to be in the Big 12 championship game. And as you mentioned earlier, Kyle, that will be a fun game.
Yeah, and Martinez didn't even really play in this one. Will Howard, that's a hell of a backup to have. So, yeah. You and I don't think expected Baylor to win this one really at all. No. So, this is a good win by Kansas State.
Absolutely. We'll keep it rolling with Purdue and Illinois. Purdue gets the upset. I picked Purdue. I don't think Illinois is as good as the record says they are. That's how college football goes. 31-24, they win this game. Payne Durham, their tight end, had a game. I think NFL draft evaluators will be watching that one. He had some acrobatic catches and just did a bunch of everything. So they get the win. Illinois goes to 4-3 in the Big Ten, and now we have a logjam in the Big Ten West. Where, I mean, if Illinois wins this game, yeah, they can lose to Michigan this week, and no one really cares, right? But like, now Illinois is gonna lose to Michigan this week. We're gonna pick the game later, but I assume we're on the same side there. And we have four teams who are 4-3. Wisconsin, who's 3-4, And it's just it's a whole mess of things. So I don't like, we're not going to get into picking who's going to be what, but next week we're probably going to talk about it once it's more clear, and that's going to be fun.
Well, so Iowa has the tiebreaker with Purdue, right? Because they ended up beating them, and so Iowa has two semi-winnable games. I don't know. You have to go to Minnesota, who's also in the mix, and I think Minnesota doesn't have the tiebreaker with Purdue. It's all confusing, very confusing. But yeah, good call on this one for you with taking Purdue. The Illinois defense is just kind of unraveling a little bit. You give up way too many yards and just kind of let Purdue do what they need to do to get the win. And I think you're right. I think there was just a soft schedule from Illinois early on, and they just a little overrated there. But yeah, that Big Ten West, an absolute disaster. Three or four loss team potentially coming.
I know Andy Staples of The Athletic has mentioned, like, this is like what the ACC Coastal was supposed to give us. Like, something like as bad as this. And we never had it from the ACC Coastal. It's been bad, but this is fun. This is like so bad of football, it's fun. That's how it goes.
Yeah.
All right, we'll go to our picks for Week 12 now. We're going to start off with the Thursday night game, SMU against Tulane on the road. Obviously, Tulane wants to win every game possible to try to get in that AAC championship to avenge their loss for the New Year's Six Bowl. Tulane's favored by 3.5 at home.
And I've got Tulane winning. I've got them bouncing back nicely here. I just think it's a little too much for SMU to handle. They got a very good balance going on. We'll talk about balance again. Maybe not enough for the College Football Playoff Committee, but I think it'll be enough to beat SMU on Friday, or on Thursday.
I do too. I like the Tulane team. We talked about Mike Pratt before. He's a good player. They got some guys on defense who are pretty good as well, and their defense is kind of what's leading this team. SMU, on the other hand, does not have that defense, and that's why I'm not taking them. Next one up, we have Illinois, Michigan. Already mentioned this one. It is a decent spread. It is Michigan favored by 18, but Illinois was ranked last week, and we're honestly going to skip a bunch of games this week because there's a bunch of 20-point spreads. So 18 sounds nice to us this weekend.
Yeah. Good enough, right? No, Michigan by more than 18.
I think so, too. What makes things worse is Chase Brown of Illinois may or may not play. I think he's banged up, so that could be a big factor in this one as well. Like, you know, I feel like a lot of times we get these weeks where like, nothing will happen, and someone pulls off an upset. I don't think it's going to be Illinois, especially with that injury. All right, we have a rivalry game in the Big 12. We have TCU at Baylor. This was a rivalry even when Baylor was in the Big 12 and TCU was in the Mountain West. TCU is favored by just 2.5 on the road.
It feels small to me. I thought TCU, like you were saying, showed what they've got last week and are able to win a close game just without coming from behind there. And Baylor just got flattened. And, of course, that's always a dangerous thing to look at the week before and make your pick based off of that. But I really do think this is just one TCU's going to win. I mean, they've got – Duggan's been great. He hasn't missed a beat. I expect him to keep moving forward here. And I don't think this is the one that trips them up. So I've got
TCU. I would probably say take TCU, go to the casino, take TCU to cover. Yes, it's a rivalry game. Anything can happen. But everything they show me this year is that they can beat you on the ground with Kendre Miller. They can beat you through the air with Quentin Johnston. Max Duggan can improvise on offense. And now that the defense has stepped up, which, again, does have some good talent in that secondary, you can win that many different ways. I think that's really important. And Sonny Dykes is doing a phenomenal job managing games as well. So I'm going TCU. All right, next one up, we have Kansas State at West Virginia. Again, not one I don't think we'd normally pick, but the pickings are slim here. So Kansas State's favored by 7.5 on the road, and West Virginia is 4-6, trying to win every game they can to save Neil Brown's job and possibly go to a bowl game.
I don't think West Virginia's got it. Kansas State, you and I have kind of been a fan of the Wildcats for most of this season. They're just a fun team to watch. I don't think this is going to be an issue for them either, whether it's on the road or not. I've got Kansas State.
I do too, Kyle. I want TCU to make the playoff. I think it'd be good. I think I'd love what they've done so far this year. It's a fun story. I want Kansas State to make the New Year's Six Bowl. I want them to like go to the Big 12 championship game, maybe lose or whatever, which is four losses and sometimes you don't get in. But like, whatever you can do, I want Kansas State in the New Year's Six Bowl, however it is. I want people to see Deuce Vaughn on the national stage. That'd be fun. All right, next one up, we have NC State at Louisville. This one is NC State still ranked. I mean, I don't think they can get back in the picture for New Year's Six Bowl, but they can definitely move up the standings with a win. And Louisville, after that couple big wins earlier in the year. They are bowl eligible under Scott Satterfield, which not a lot of people thought would happen, and they are favored by 4.
I mean, they ripped off 4 in a row before Clemson, so they got a little hot there. This kind of comes down to a somewhat coin flip. I mean, I want to lean Louisville, but you never know which team for either of these teams you're going to get on any given day. But I feel like Louisville was piecing it together a little more there. Hopefully they continue that momentum. And NC State, the season, again, with you, I'm shocked they're still ranked. But I think the season's kind of starting to get away from them a little bit. So I do like Louisville being at home. I like them with the win.
I do too. I think the hope of a good season was gone. Like 8-4 is still nice for NC State. Like, you know, they used to go 7-5 every year. Last year, 9-3 was great, and maybe if Leary had stayed healthy, but I think the hope's gone. Like, what are you playing for at this rate? They might lose this game, and they might come out energized against UNC next week, which will be something to watch, but, you know, this game, what are you battling for? An extra win's not going to do anything for you. I'm going Louisville. I think it matters more to them. Yes, they have 6 wins, but Scott Satterfield has been through, like, the ringer with how, like, he's been – Louisville fans have been talking about how he doesn't recruit well, and now he's finally recruiting decently, and it's a whole thing. All right, Ole Miss at Arkansas, Kyle. This is a spread that I thought was a little bit curious, but it's Ole Miss favored by 2.5 on the road.
Is this the one where we maybe finally disagree? I think we've agreed on every game so far.
I don't know.
I will go with Ole Miss hesitantly, though. I don't like the weather situation in Arkansas. It's a historical fact that Ole Miss never plays well at Arkansas, especially when the weather is ugly. So if that's going to be a factor and going to be any kind of problem – good luck. But we've said it before, the running game travels well, so I like that part of the game. I don't think that'll really be hindered too much, but the defense especially, and then also just Dart's ability and, you know, to get it through the air, because we've seen it. I mean, all year, that's how you beat Arkansas, is you pick apart the pretty easy secondary. And so if weather's going to be a factor and that's going to maybe take some of that game away, it could be an issue. And Arkansas showed us they've got some life, a pulse maybe on defense after last week, whether that's the weather helping or not. But signs are also pointing to KJ being back, and he's, you know, you saw the game last year, almost couldn't stop him at all. So if he's back, especially with Rocket Sanders in that backfield, that could spell a mess for Ole Miss. But I will take Ole Miss hesitantly with the win.
I'm taking Ole Miss to win and cover. I told you I'm out on Arkansas. They screwed me over this year. The oink doink at the start of the year, which they should have won that game, and they had some other issues too, so that's not doesn't come down just to the kicker. The Liberty game, just KJ, I think KJ's injury, Jalen Catalan's injury, I think a lot of their leaders being injured just throughout the years, it's been tough, but Ole Miss is better. They're going to be able to run the ball. Like you said, the weather could be an issue, but I think when you have a running attack like that, that's going to cover that up. So I have them winning and covering. On to Bedlam. This may not be what it used to be this year. I mean, Oklahoma State 7-3, ranked 22nd in the country. Oklahoma 5-5. But Oklahoma's favored by 7.5. This might be one of the last games of Bedlam we see since Oklahoma's moving to the SEC.
Yeah, and I haven't done well picking Oklahoma State this year, but I will pick them in this one. Just Oklahoma's been bad, man. I mean, they just have not been good this year. They have a chance of finishing last, which would be hilarious. Like on their way out the door, you know, don't let the door hit you on your way out. But yeah, I've got Oklahoma State in this one. I think they do. They don't have played a lot against Oklahoma, and this is your best chance in a long time. So take advantage of it. You know, get the last word with your rival, you know, for the time being. And I think the Cowboys will do it.
Wow. I'm going Oklahoma to win. Their favorite.
This is the one. All right. This is the one.
I mean, I don't know. Dylan Gabriel being back has been very big for that team. It just doesn't seem like they have a plan outside of him, which is fine. I'm still very, very much so, like, I think Oklahoma might be kind of screwed when they go to the SEC. Like, we talked off air about, like, their SEC is going to have, like, you have 18 teams in the conference. There's going to be teams that fall down. There's going to be teams that, like, drop in national relevance. Maybe Texas can't make it all the way back because they're playing Alabama every year or whatever. You know what I mean? So, I do think they're not set up that way. I think Brent Venables has his work cut out for him to get him to that point because the talent level obviously dipped in the Big 12, but we could be looking at like Oklahoma, Missouri, Kentucky, South Carolina, Vanderbilt at the bottom of like the SEC, and it's just weird that they would ever be in that discussion. So that's my only comment is just I think they could struggle when they go to the SEC, but I do think they win this game. All right, one of the biggest games of the weekend we have USC at UCLA, the rivalry game in the Rose Bowl. USC favored by 2.5 on the road.
It's two bad defenses. I mean, we brought this up a lot, and they're both bad defenses, and both with very capable offenses. Ultimately, I think I'm going to go with Caleb Williams and USC. I know UCLA was my team and everything, but Caleb Williams is still just near perfect. I mean, he's been great, and I think he's going to be too much for UCLA, but I do expect this to be a shootout. The over-under's at 76. I think that's pretty accurate, and I would definitely think.
Yeah, I think we had some technical difficulties there for a second, but I will take UCLA. I know it's your team, but I'm going to take them. USC's rush defense is bad. Like, I know both defenses are bad. USC's rush defense is bad. You got DTR and Zach Charbonnet running at you. That's crazy to me. I think they can win this game. They're only 2.5-point underdogs. They're at home. There's a lot of pride in this game. They're not going to want to see USC go to the playoff. I think that's the kind of the matchup that matters. And I do think, you know, the 8 or 9 teams still in contention for the playoff. We're going to see some teams lose. I don't think Tennessee is going to lose, but I think we're going to see some of these teams lose in these last couple of weeks. This is one of the games I think could affect things. All right, the last game of the night, we have Utah at Oregon. Utah ranked 10th right now. Oregon ranked 12th after their loss. Both teams 8-2. Both teams 6-1 in the Pac-12. Pac-12 is doing not the round robin as like the Big 12 is doing, but they've got rid of their division, so just the top two teams go. So this is very important for Pac-12 championship.
Oh, it is the top two teams. Yeah, that's right. I forgot they don't have North and South anymore. Man, you know, I want to say Oregon because they're at home, but we just watched how that one worked. Not well. So, and you know, I've been high on this Utah team. You know, when we do get to pick them, I do like the Utah team. So I think I'm going to go with Utah here. It's just a fun team. I mean, I've always been a fan and everything, and, you know, I like Cam Rising and everything, so I got to go with the Utes again.
Yeah, I mean, they've had two road losses this year. Florida, Anthony Richardson played well. UCLA had that rushing attack. I don't think Oregon's rushing attack is quite as good. I mean, I'll say consistent. We'll put it more consistent, I think is a better way to put it. Zach Charbonnet is just a little bit better at UCLA than anything Oregon has in the backfield. I'm going to go Utah to win. I was obviously high on the preseason. I still think everything's right in front of them to get to a Rose Bowl. Which I know they had playoff aspirations, but you go 2 straight years at Utah, possibly like 10-2, go to Rose Bowls. I mean, that's pretty awesome. Yeah,
that's pretty good. Yeah.
All right, that's a pick for the week's picks for the week. Kyle, any final thoughts?
On a scale of 1 to 10, and I know we didn't pick it, and I get it; it's fine. Where would you put the chances of an upset in Columbia this weekend for South Carolina and Tennessee?
10 being, I think there's an upset happening. 1 being not. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Confidence in Carolina's ability to pull the upset off.
2.
So no chance.
Yeah.
Just not.
I mean, they beat Kentucky, and I was like, maybe. And then they beat Texas A&M. I was like, they kind of should have beat you Texas A&M at this point. Then they lost to Missouri.
I mean, that was earlier in the season where, like, there was some life going on anyway, but
they
lost
to Missouri. Then they beat Vanderbilt, which whatever, they beat Vanderbilt, and then they lost to Florida big. They just look like they're kind of at their limit, you know.
Yeah, and it's a shame because I feel like, you know, we talked about it earlier where they had a real opportunity to like do some damage this year, and it just they've let the opportunities slip away from them, and you know they don't even show up last week. Granted, on the road, but you know it is what it is, but. I don't know. This is the last opportunity for Tennessee to trip up. I think this is pretty much it right here. And I don't know. Crazier things have happened in Columbia. You know, it gets weird. So I would put mine at maybe a 4.
Well, the defense makes them vulnerable. Makes Tennessee vulnerable. So it could happen. The crowd could be into it. They just Spencer Rattler hasn't gotten anything done this year. That concerns me. But I think if you're South Carolina, I say this a lot of times for like the NFL if you have Derrick Henry. But I think you take the ball first. You try to score. You try to put the pressure on Tennessee's great offense. I would let the crowd noise get to them because they did have some issues with it against Georgia. And just see what happens. I don't know. You can kick it and give it to Tennessee first, but if they score, I kind of feel like a lot of teams are like, oh, shoot, what are we going to do? We have Spencer Rattler back. What are we going to do, you know?
Going to take the life out of the game, I feel like, pretty early if you let them do one of those deep plays. You know, they're pretty famous for. So I agree with you. I think you get the ball first, see what you can do, and put pressure on them, you know? Do what Arizona did to UCLA. Get a score early, keep the pressure applied, and see what happens. But That's asking a lot for a South Carolina team where it's their offense has been anemic. I mean, it's just been terrible, and it's hilarious because you have Spencer Rattler, who you expected to fix these problems, and now I'm wondering, you know, it's probably a lot of scheming, a lot of coaching there. But
all right, my final thought is, what do you think about the College Football Playoff rankings? This is one of the first shows we've done after, and we got Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan, TCU, Tennessee at 5, which caused some controversy, LSU at 6, USC at 7. What do you think?
So you and I said last week, that was our final thoughts last week, who should be the fourth team? And then later that night, it was TCU, which, thank God, you know, we both very, very vehemently agreed that, you know, TCU should be the number four team. I think Tennessee's in the right spot at this point. I mean, who else are you going to put there? USC, maybe? I don't know. But I think LSU's probably a little too high. I mean, I don't know why they move up. They barely beat a bad Arkansas team with a backup quarterback and third string quarterback going on. You know, I don't agree with all of this LSU hype. I don't think they're all they're cracked up to be. You know, they go ahead and win the SEC championship, but fine, prove me wrong. And I don't know, maybe you get a 2-loss team in there, but I think they're still a little too bullish on LSU. Outside of that, I mean, you start running down to the 10 to 15 area and everything, like it'll work itself out mostly. The top four is going to be really interesting. If any of those teams lose, obviously Michigan and Ohio State, one of them are going to lose. Do you put them behind Tennessee or do you put them in front? I mean, because the loss is going to be to the number two team in the country. So I don't know. Tennessee's loss is to the number one team in the country.
Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be tough if, like, Ohio State or Michigan lose that game by, like, a touchdown or a field goal.
Yeah, I mean, God, what if it goes, like, overtime or, like you said, a field goal?
That's what's going to be tough. I will say right now, I think they have the teams ranked right, 1 through 5, like you said. I wouldn't have LSU that high. I wouldn't have Alabama quite that high. I get it.
Yeah, I think Bama's too high, too.
But I'd move up Clemson. I know they've had some issues. I know everyone hates their offense, but they still have the one loss. They beat all the teams in the ACC that are ranked. And I'd also say I'd have UNC higher, too. I mean, they're up to 13. Their only loss is to Notre Dame, who's 18. That's still not the greatest, we know. But I know their defense stinks. I know we're looking for balance in the committee room. That's the new thing. But I would not have them behind Oregon still and Penn State, at least. I mean, I probably would have them at, like, 9 or 10 in front of Utah, behind Utah, something like that. They keep on winning. They don't have the strength of schedule, but what's separating them from USC, who's 7? It's just the name brand is all it is.
I think yes and no a little bit. I mean, I agree with you, but they do mention, you know, it's the way you win. It's like how much you win by, that such sort of thing. And UNC has 4 or 5 games where they've only won by a field goal or less. And I think that kind of is why they don't want to give them the nod so much. I do think you could probably put them ahead, a little further ahead, but I don't know how close to the top 10 or into the top 10 I'd put them. But if they just keep winning the games, we said it, the win is a win. So eventually you're going to force yourself up there.
They're hoping NC State wins this weekend, and then they're hoping that, like, they get another ranked win, UNC does, kind of help things out there. I get it. The resume is not the greatest, but strength of record is at 11, right behind USC, which is 10. I mean, I don't know. I think they deserve a little bit more love. Not the most love, not anything else. But I don't think there's a huge difference between USC and UNC this year. Offenses are great, great quarterbacks. Defenses are pretty bad. So I don't know.
And then one more shot I wanted to do. Florida State rolls over Syracuse. We called that game last week. We said Florida State. It wasn't even close. That defense has been great the last 3 weeks. I mean, they've given up one real touchdown. Georgia Tech had a game-ending touchdown or whatever, garbage time. But Florida State's rolling. I'm impressed with what Mike Norvell has done down there. And they're 7-3. They got a really, really good chance of going 9-3. And, you know, after what started off as a really rocky start, it's starting to work out and look real smooth now. So kudos to Florida State.
There's a chance they're 9-3. Like, Louisiana's probably going to be a win this weekend. That's the game they schedule right before Florida. And they could be Florida, too, especially Anthony Richardson's bad. I'm impressed with them as well. I think they're definitely a program on the rise, and I would say watch out for Jared Verse, their defensive end. He showed up a little bit in that LSU game at the start of the year. He's went from being a transfer from Albany to starting at Florida State this year to possibly being a first, second-round pick in the NFL draft. That's been a huge thing for them, so been fun to watch him and some of their other guys. Their receiver, Johnny Wilson, who's 6'7", has been fun to watch too. So definitely a team I'm interested to watch in bowl season specifically to see how high they can climb. All right, that pretty much wraps it up. It's my turn to remind everyone to like, subscribe to the podcast on YouTube or whatever you get your podcasts. We'll be back next week to recap week 12 and preview rivalry week 13. For now, thanks for listening. We'll see everyone next week.